Perdue, the same U.S. senator who was on the phone with his broker buying medical and vaccine stocks when he heard about this pandemic, opposed even the first round of $1,200 stimulus checks. And now, after 8 months of obstruction, after he repeatedly stated his opposition to direct relief for the people, while he rubber stamped vast sums that went to major corporations and Wall Street banks, he's touting $600 like he saved the day. $600 is a joke. Folks have months of rent past due, gas bills piling up, childcare costs that they can't keep up with, credit cards maxed out. People are hurting through no fault of their own. This COVID economy is devastating working families in Georgia and across the country. And I'm calling on Senator Perdue to reverse his opposition to $2,000 relief checks. Look, President-elect Biden, President Trump, and Democrats all support this policy to get money into the pockets of hardworking Americans who are in dire straits right now. And Senator Perdue needs to come out tonight and commit to voting on the floor of the Senate for $2,000 relief checks.
December 29th, Tuesday, First Things, David Domke, John Ossoff on the MSNBC calling out David Perdue. Who's listening?
Well, on MSNBC, a highly partisan body of folks. But in Georgia, where Ossoff delivering that same message, you know, it's looking not bad for the Democrats. And this message on COVID relief bill that Ossoff and his running mate, Raphael Warnock, are putting forward against their opponents, Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, is really resonating there. And so I want to talk about how this is all shaking out right now. The COVID relief bill, the National Defense Authorization Act legislation, two separate pieces of legislation in the Congress, and the Georgia Senate races. Because if you were whiteboarding or putting a timeline together of how things could possibly go wrong for the Republicans in seeking to win the Senate runoff races in Georgia, we are pretty much in the worst case scenario right now for the Republicans. Okay, so that doesn't guarantee anything for the Dems to win, but it certainly puts them in the ballpark of having a good chance. So I want to talk about that worst case scenario and what it looks like for the Republicans, because this just doesn't happen, this kind of spot, this kind of tough spot, this pickle that the Republicans are in. It doesn't happen when Mitch McConnell has been majority leader, because he's been so skilled at manipulating the Senate to their advantage. But right now, it's going down.
Well, you got the man who is still the president heading to Georgia to hold a big rally with a lot of people unmasked. I think he advertised to support these two candidates.
Yeah, you sure do. On January 4th, the Monday night before the Tuesday election day. And that's part of the scenario that complicates it all for the Republicans. So let me kind of lay out what's going on here, or what it looks like. So on December 11th, the House and the Senate passed the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. It has been passed every year by the Congress for 59 years. It's dollars to pay our troops and to staff the military around the world, the U.S. military. I want to set aside for a moment whether I would put all that much money into the military, because I wouldn't. But the reality is that politically, it's a piece of legislation that passes overwhelmingly every year by the Congress and signed by the president. And on December 11th, the Senate passed it 84 yeses, 13 noes. So really strongly bipartisan. But the president wants a certain part, two things on that bill. He wants to, one, get rid of a section in the bill that is going to remove Confederate names from forts and from military bases. He wants to He wants to protect those names and keep them there. But he wants that stripped from the bill. The Republicans have made very clear that they are not stripping that from the bill. The Republicans have made very clear they're not stripping that from the bill. Second, the president wants something inserted. He wants something called Section 230 repealed. Section 230 is part of the federal telecommunications code, which protects large technology companies such as Facebook and Twitter from being sued for a variety of things that get posted in their on their sites by individuals. He wants it repealed because he believes that it protects them too much. I kind of actually agree with him on this, and so do a lot of Democrats, but a lot of Republicans don't. And so they don't want to put it in there, in that bill. Those two things, though, led Trump to veto the passage of the NDAA. He took as long as he could to veto it, all the way till the end of the 10-day window that he has. And now it's got to be overridden by the Congress if it's going to pass. The House voted yesterday overwhelmingly to override the president's veto. The ball is now in the U.S. Senate's court. Today, the Senate will come back into session and will vote on whether to override that veto or not. This is bad situation number one for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. So they're Republicans. They voted for the NDAA. They're the Georgia Republicans. But now you have the president vigorously saying, don't pass this. He has called out the Republican leadership in the Senate, saying, I need new leadership. We need new folks. Mitch can't do it. I need new people. And there have been other Republican senators around the country who have said that they will honor the president's veto and not vote to pass this bill. They will change their vote. So what are Perdue and Loeffler going to do? This is problem number one for them, because they certainly, the base, the establishment of the Republican Party certainly supports the NDAA. But the radical Trumpsters, they support Trump. They don't give a crap about the party, but they support Trump. And Trump wants this vetoed. And Perdue and Loeffler cannot win on Tuesday of next week without those votes. So they're in pickle and bind number one. All right, you with me, Steve?
I'm with you. I like the bind they're in, and I have many questions, but I'll hold off.
Okay, that's bind number one. That vote passes, the override vote passes the House by a huge margin yesterday. It's going to be in the Senate today. All right. Bind number two, completely manufactured by the president of the United States again to hurt his, and it hurts his own party, is that the Congress again overwhelmingly passed the COVID relief bill, which I believe was passed and brought to the president's desk on Thursday, before, was it the 24th? Yeah, I believe it was brought to the president's desk on the 24th. And it provides $600 stimulus checks to Americans, not near as much as we should be giving people in this very difficult time, but better than nothing for sure. But the president didn't pass it, didn't sign it. And he began to criticize it. He came out and, as we talked about in this podcast, called it disgraceful that it didn't include more friggin' money. For the American public. Well, you know who doesn't want to give more money to the public? The Republicans. The Republicans in the Senate, especially. The Dems are like, hell yes, we want to give more money. Let's do that. And so everybody on the Dem side jumped on it and said, look, the president wants to give $2,000 checks to the public, not $600. Let's get it done. And Steve, here's where it's just so fascinating. But the president, though, agreed to sign the bill. And he signed it on Sunday, after some employment benefits had given out, as I talked about on Sunday's podcast. I was pissed at him then, still am, definitely, for waiting that long. He could have signed it Friday, Saturday, Saturday, and kept those benefits going. But when he signed it, he said that he had done so with an agreement from the House and the Senate that they would take up the $2,000 checks as a separate piece of legislation. Yesterday, I think that all Republicans assumed it would just die. The idea would die and Perdue and Loeffler would not be put in a tough position of having to vote on the $2,000 check. But yesterday, the House suspended their rules, and this is parliamentary fine to do. But if you suspend your rules and you hold a vote, you can pass a piece of legislation, but it requires a supermajority to pass it under a suspension of rules. You have to get 2/3 of votes. It's a much higher bar than a half. People assumed it would not pass, but yesterday it passed. $2,000 checks passed by 2 votes. 44 Republicans voted for it. It passed by 2 votes. And so unbelievably, the House has now passed a piece of legislation that takes up what the president wants, $2,000 checks to the American public. It now goes to the Senate. Now goes to the Senate. I know this is a lot of stuff here, folks. So it's now in the Senate. Also in the Senate, of course, is the NDAA bill, which needs to be overridden. So here we come to the situation. The Republicans don't, Loeffler and Perdue do not want to vote on the $2,000 check. Absolutely not, because they oppose them. But if they oppose them, that gives Ossoff that message that we hear at the beginning of this podcast, and Loeffler the message that these Republican senators don't care. They are just absolutely hammering Loeffler and Perdue over this support for the American public. The last thing Perdue wanted, or Loeffler wanted, was to have a vote on the $2,000 check. They so badly wanted this issue off the table that Perdue called the president on Christmas Day, according to news reports, and begged him to sign the COVID relief bill for the $600 checks so that it can be removed as an issue against him. The president did sign it, but now the issue's back even bigger with $2,000 checks. All right, last little bit of this. McConnell, throughout his time as majority leader, has self-labeled himself as the Grim Reaper. He's the person where when bills come to his desk that he doesn't want to have anything to do with, he allows them to die or he kills them. He just doesn't deal with them. So in a normal world, Mitch McConnell just never takes up the $2,000 check legislation. He just lets it die and they move on to the NDAA. They pass the veto. They override the veto, probably with Perdue and Loeffler still facing tough votes, but the bill's got to be passed. But in this particular situation, the filibuster comes into play. And the filibuster is when a person on the Senate floor gets up and says, I have personal prerogative to talk about an issue I care about, and I will not yield the floor until I'm prepared to yield it, or a vote can override my filibuster. And I get a certain amount of days to do this before that vote can be taken to stop the filibuster. And Bernie Sanders said that yesterday that he's going to be a filibusterer to make sure that they don't go to the NDAA vote without first voting on the $2,000 checks. That's his position. You want to override the NDAA? He said, I'm a yes on that. I'll vote yes on that. But we're not going there unless we first vote on the $2,000 checks. He can only delay the Senate for 3 days on this. That's all he gets under the filibuster rules. He gets 3 days to do this. However, those 3 days become incredibly important when you have an election next Tuesday and people are voting every single day in Georgia. So 3 days of making the $2,000 checks the key issue of the election in Georgia, oh, that's a huge win for the Democrats. And it gives Trump all kinds of time to tweet out what he wants. And this morning he already did say, pass the $2,000 checks. Let's get them done. And he criticized the Republican leadership as weak and tired. He said, let's pass them. So 3 days in the Trump world and in an election coming up is a lifetime. So Sanders has got leverage. He's got leverage. You want to remove this as an issue? You want to get Trump, you want to have this, the Loeffler and Perdue get their votes done and out of the way and give them a chance to explain whatever they do? Then vote now. Otherwise, they're going to face it and be hammered on it for 3 days. So that's where we are at this morning. The Dems remarkably have leverage on this issue in the most important Senate races of this election because of Trump, because of Donald Trump and his desire to veto the NDAA Act and to get the $2,000 checks. The Trump has laid this out for the Democrats, and Mitch McConnell has not been able to control it. Oh, this is beautiful. Okay, and so here we are now. We are, today is Tuesday. We are 1 week from the voting being done in Georgia, and it's the worst possible position for the Republican senators to be in.
You know, it's just so fascinating to think about. I don't give Trump any credit other than flailing, but, you know, he wants to be, you know, the head of the Trump Party, which is a populist, racist, white working class party in some vision of his future. So, you know, the populism that Trump ran on and could probably have still won on if he had pursued it and not been a hypocrite about it. Here he is dredging that up again. And that's part and parcel, right? Because the idea of these, of the NDAA getting rid of the names of bases that are named after Confederate generals and the like, that that plays into that same base as the $2,000, I guess, sort of. Of course, these are the same people who don't believe in government handouts when it's not to them, both things in quotes. So it's just a fascinating aspect of this whole story as well, that it's a swirl of weird past and future political machinations and aspirations that comes into play as well. And also getting back at Mitch McConnell, because he said President-elect Joe Biden, I'm sure, is a big part of it, hits Trump in the ego. So there's just all these strange things that come to a fore. And yeah, as you say, here it is, right in the middle of an election where they've already done some work to limit drop-off ballot boxes, right, around Georgia as well.
They have tried to do that. There have been five legal attempts by the Republicans to voter suppress in this runoff election. One of them was to only allow drop-off boxes to be open for drop-off during business working hours, 9 to 5.
Yeah, that's great.
They tried to do that, but the courts have ruled against them on all five. There was that. There was an attempt to change the signature checking rules. There was an attempt to change how you got the absentee ballots. They have been rejected. So the vote is going forward as it should. Even just last night, there was a court decision, the fifth of five against the Republicans, which forces them to put back onto the voter registration list 4,000 names that they had said should have to vote provisional and not be counted regular. But the court said, nope, you're wrong on that. Put them back on the regular voting list. The Republicans are losing in the courts, as they've been losing in the courts for the last 2 months. So the Trump Party would absolutely want the Confederate names on the bases, and would absolutely want the money from the government as long as it goes to a lot of white people, but does not want the money if somehow it's seen as going to all Americans. Regardless, though, Trump is very much trying to assert his power, his authority over the entire party, and saying, I'm the one that calls the shots on these important pieces of legislation. And on the NDAA, I think that he's going to get overridden. I think that the Senate, enough folks in the Senate, will vote to match the House override. And it will be the first veto override during the Trump presidency, the first one. But Perdue and Loeffler are not just any senators at this time. And on that and the COVID relief bill, they are extremely vulnerable. So if you are a president who actually gave a crap about your political party, which presidents usually do because they got there because of the party, or at least partly because of the party, then you know what? You figure out a way with the Senate Majority Leader to make sure that the sequencing of all of this goes down in a way that's favorable for the Republican senators in Georgia. But Trump has actually gone exactly the other way, has ignored McConnell's desires, Perdue and Loeffler. And by pushing the $2,000 limit, which is entirely Trump's actions, he has put them in this incredibly bad spot. I'd be ripping my hair out if I was them, which is what they've done to the American public for the last, 4 years. And so it is really just desserts right now. All this said, the Georgia Senate race is extremely close. This simply gives the Democrats a real shot to win there. So last bit, you said Trump's going there on January 4th. He is. He's going to be rallying in rural Georgia, North Georgia. But you tell me what that rally is going to look like. What is that going to be like if Perdue and Loeffler have voted against the Trump veto? So they voted to pass the NDAA. And then they somehow didn't want to deal with the $2,000 checks, but had to vote on that. And maybe they opposed the president on those too. I don't know. That is not the kind of rally you're looking for if you're David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Remember, Steve, about 3 weeks ago when Trump was there on December 4th, I think it was, or the 7th maybe, and he went to Valdosta, Georgia. And we played a clip on here, and it was the crowd when David Perdue was talking. And they were not sitting there quietly listening to David Perdue. They were chanting, fight for Trump, fight for Trump. And in fact, they chanted Perdue off the stage. They are with Trump. They are not with Perdue and Loeffler. They are only with Perdue and Loeffler if they're with Trump. And this is so dang politically poisonous for them right now that I just have to revel in it. That's what I have to do because of what they've done to the public has been so bad.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they vote in the end because those voters, because are they, they seem to be people who can hold contradictory concepts in their minds and as well as contradictory facts. So, and that's of course an incredible bias on my part, but that's fine. And so perhaps they can both be mad at Perdue and Loeffler and love Donald Trump, but still turn out and vote against those damn Democrats.
I think they might be inclined to do that, to do exactly as you said. If Trump was on the ballot, they'd come out to vote because Trump would say like, hey, come vote for me and vote for these other Republicans while you're there for the heck of it. But they would come out to vote for Trump, but he isn't on the ballot. He's not on the ballot. So he's not there. So they can love Trump and despise these so-called weak and tired, as Trump used those words, Republican leaders. And what do they do then? They become less likely to vote at all. And that's never an outcome I'm looking for in the American Democratic public. But the reality is that if you don't find a candidate that supports what you want, then maybe you don't vote. And when you're talking about a runoff election, any drop off in votes is damaging, devastating. So those folks become less likely to vote. And there's some evidence right now that they're turning out the Trump voters at lower percentages than the Dems did relative to the general election, the Georgia general election.
Is there any evidence? Is there any evidence that Democratic voters are starting to slow their turnout as well in this final week?
Well, everybody is less than the general election. Everybody is less than the general election, but relative to each other compared to the general election, the Democratic turnout is much higher right now than the Republican turnout. So relative to each other, the distribution of Dems to Republicans is looking really good right now. And this will be part of my lecture too, of my Georgia lectures tonight. If you didn't catch number one, you can still sign up and get the video of it. It's on Eventbrite. Just look for my name and you'll see it December 28th and 29th of the lecture dates. And tonight I'll be talking specifically about Georgia and about the turnout dynamics in that state. And so I'm putting together the material right now. But I do tell you this, that to finish up here, I am stunned to be here. I have grown accustomed to Mitch McConnell always having things go the way that he wants because he plays these dark arts behind the scenes manipulation. And this time Trump has provided so much problems for McConnell and for Perdue and Loeffler that damn it, we really got a shot. We really got a chance.
Well, I believe in that, as we talked about earlier this week.
Absolutely.
All right. Good stuff. I will continue to read about all these people. I do like a new ad that the, just to end this, a new ad that the Dems have put out. Vote Democrat. Get cash. Get BidenBucks.com. It's a truck driving around cities in Georgia right now, and it's the Dems.
You know, when you need some money, that's pretty appealing.
It is. It is very appealing. All right. I guess we'll get to work.
Let's go.